More Heart Than Talent Radio.
Jeffrey Combs, president and founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. We're ending the end of an era, October 29th, 2019, Facebook Live. Here we go. The More Heart Than Talent Facebook Live. This is the third version of the original 10:30 Eastern, actually the 5 o'clock Eastern, More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. Back then, in 1998, when I launched this call, it was a Empower You Now call. That was one of my original names of one of my original companies back in the day. And that started, this call started off, or this Facebook Live started off as a live call, 5 o'clock Eastern. And it was a mindset call. I then changed it to 10:30 Eastern time, and it remained a 10:30 Eastern Standard Time live call until 2018, and I moved it to a Facebook Live at 1 o'clock Pacific, 4 Eastern Standard. Welcome to the Facebook Live today in beautiful Northern California. Great to have you on today's Facebook Live. Teresa Humphreys, good to see you. Anne DeMauro Barante, good to see you. Jared, good to see you. Scott Lucas, Lisa, Faye, Pazanza, Gina, Maureen. So looking forward to connecting with some of you next Thursday at the Protege Quantum Consciousness event. Now, that will be the most exceptional event I've ever hosted. Now, I will qualify that. I have had Dr. Joe Dispenza at events 5 times. I have had John Assaraf speak through me, for me, on 4 different occasions, Mark Victor Hansen numerous occasions, and the great Jim Rohn 5 different times. Now, when I tell you this is going to be the best event I've ever hosted, this will be for a very intimate audience of about 30 people. I'll have T.C. Bradley and other quantum conscious speakers at my Protege Writer Speakers Workshop. That's an advanced event for my coaching clients only. Today's content, some of my favorite content that I never get tired of covering is prospecting. Prospecting with purpose. The purpose of my call, the reason I'm reaching out to you, the reason I considered connecting with you is, that's the purpose. That's a purpose statement followed by a question. When you are purpose-driven, purpose-conscious, you know the outcome. You know what you're looking for. You are clear. Unfortunately, when it comes to sales, S-A-L-E-S, I'll get out the miniature whiteboard. So in my desk here, I'm sitting in an antique desk up in the second story of my home at 989 Oxford Way. I live in a home that's about 5,000 square feet, 100 years old, white stucco, red tile roof, very close to the oldest college in California, University of Pacific. So I'm looking out at a beautiful bay window on the second floor in paradise right here this afternoon, covering content. So this is the junior whiteboard. So I love whiteboards. I've been using a whiteboard since 1990 when I first did my very first Herbalife meeting. So I'm very skilled with the blue marker and the black marker. The highest paid profession in the world. I'll spell it for you. S, what we'll do with the blue marker. And that is S-A-L-E-S. Here we go. Sales. Highest paid profession in the world. Be comfortable with the process of selling. Become a professional at sales, marketing, branding, asking questions in the sequence, qualifying people for your time, product, benefit, feature, and service. This also is a very important tool to a whiteboard. So be and stay comfortable. The purpose, when you state the purpose, the reason I'm calling you is I'm calling you to book a reservation at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time for the best table you have available. Can you accommodate that? That's the purpose. I stated the purpose and I ended with a question. Can you accommodate this? Now, when you understand the dynamics of selling, then you'll start to understand the dynamics of asking. Many of you have heard me say this before. The questions in a sequence. The outcome that you seek is going to be a direct reflection of how skilled you are at asking the questions. If you're not skilled at asking the questions, then you're going to fumble around and you're going to come across very new as an amateur, as a rookie, as a non-professional. You're going to inhibit your ability to attract to reality the people that you can foster change with, or the people that can build a business with, or the people that can get it done with you. And but if you're uncomfortable with this process and you're in a telepathic telegraphing stage saying, "Hi, I'm uncomfortable. Please don't buy from me. Please don't join me. Please don't start with me." When you're uncomfortable, you will telegraph it due to your unresolved issues, anxiety, so you have your emotions. Emotions give off a corresponding response. That means that when you're worried about an outcome, you're magnifying to your reality the very situation you seek to avoid. When you are relaxed, when you have nothing to lose, when you're not anxious about being rejected or abandoned, when you're not overwhelmed about making mistakes, saying the wrong thing, getting in trouble, offending someone, then you can be you and you can be free. But anything other than you is a shadow of self. And in that situation, you're going to telegraph from anxiety, fear, and doubt. I've been teaching sales skills since the late 90s. I was a professional salesperson throughout part of my addictive years. I really crossed the bridge selling yellow page advertising, straight commission for Southwestern Bell back in the days when yellow pages were viable and they were a commodity that a business owner required because they had to compete with all the other businesses. And people would actually compete for being first in the yellow pages because people, when they let their fingers do the walking, oftentimes the biggest ad would get the biggest attention. So I would sell full-page ads on the back of a phone book, full-page ads insert in the phone book, full-page ads, and lots of those. I was responsible for laying them out back in the cut-and-paste day before the era of laptops and all the other software. So I'm very skilled at advertising, copy, design, layout, and most importantly, closing sales. If you're in sales, the objective is to be able to provide a benefit, feature, a service, or sell the dream to a qualified buyer. Your objective is to be able to find out if the buyer who is qualified, now that's a key component, a buyer who is qualified, if that buyer has a problem you can resolve. Now, if that buyer has a problem you can resolve, so let's say that your buyer does not have good credit, and he has a credit score of 600, and he is challenged with being able to get a loan. Now, if you're a lender and you can be able to resolve that problem by being able to provide a loan to that person, even if it's a hard money loan, so let's say it's a 10 to 15% loan, well, that person will more than likely take it because with a 600 credit score, the options are relatively limited. So that means you're providing a benefit, feature, and a service, but it also means that you're required to ask the questions in a sequence. And what hinders a lot of people, I don't want to be nosy. I don't want to come across salesy. I mean, this is the dumb shit I hear people say all of the time. Yes, I hear it. I don't want to come across as a salesman. Don't worry, chief. You're going to come across as an amateur. If you came across as a sales professional, you would close sales. But when you come across as an amateur, then you're going to try and convince people and beg people that you're sharing products with them. And if you're not skilled at scheduling appointments, then you're going to invite people. I'm going to invite you. No, you schedule an appointment, chief, an appointment. You schedule the appointment. Your show-up ratio will be a direct reflection of your skill set at scheduling the appointment. And you don't pin people down. You ask people if they can commit. I'm offering a presentation Tuesday night at 7:30. It'll give you all the benefits, the features, the services, and it'll show you how you can live your dreams. Would you be available to attend that event at 7:30 Tuesday night? That's a question. It's not left open-ended. Here's how a lot of people sell. I'd really like you to join my team. You'd be really good on my team. Well, it's not your team. It's about them. And this is how many people talk. That I think you'd look really good in this car. Well, you have to ask them, do you feel you look good in this car? It's not what I think. It's you. And so you learn to ask the questions in the sequence about the outcome. So just recently, we had a customer complaint issue. Hey, Giuseppe Zep Puglisi asked me a question, and then I asked my assistant a question, and right now he's researching to see if what he asked me actually happened. And I'll be following up with that situation immediately after this call. He asked me, I asked him, and then I'm going to find out the answer, and I'm going to send it back to him. That's customer service. And you get paid for service and value, and that's what increases your value so that you can raise your energy. When you are valuable, your energy transmits it. When you are critical, when you are worried, when you're overwhelmed, you're transmitting your energy from a very low vibration. I'm not sure if I can pass this test. Well, you're correct. You won't be, because you already spoke into existence the very reality that you have anxiety about. I hope I don't want to get rejected. I've coached many clients, thousands of clients, who do not call leads because they do not want to hear the word no. So they'll hold on to their pretty little leads. Here's how it looks. Here's their lead list. And hold on to their little lead list. And, oh, my little lead list. They hold on to their little lead list, and they don't call the leads because they don't want to get rejected. In reality, if someone doesn't buy from you, they're not buying from you from one of these reasons. You're not effective in asking the questions and presenting the value. Number two, they're not a qualified buyer. Number three, they have challenges deciding and committing, and they give you a future tense commitment that you don't understand. And those are the three main reasons. They will give you objections. Most common objection is money. Second most common objection is think about it. Third most common objection is I want to run it by someone, my wife, my significant other, etc. And the fourth objection is they don't have the time. So those are, and then there's also the, I want to think about it. So these are the main situations. Those are objections, not rejections. And when you let go of your anxiety about the outcome that hasn't happened, you can become a lot more effective at this process. Now, here, right here, is the syllabus for today's call. Now, what I do every Sunday is 3 weeks in advance, I write out the call. All I do is write out a very simple, very nice and neat black Sharpie, the outline for a call. I have 7 bullet points to every half hour call. If I was doing an hour call, there'd be 12 bullet points, give or take. So on the bullet points today, I covered prospecting is asking. That's number one. Number two, qualifying the prospect. Number three, prospecting avoidance. Number four, letting go of rejection. Number five, asking questions in a sequence. Number five, repetition experience. That's the over and over, becoming a professional. Number seven, closing the sale. So prospecting is asking. I mean, asking-oriented marketing. How serious are you? I couldn't help but notice you have exceptional people skills. Have you ever considered owning your own business? I've asked that question thousands of times and received a phone number right there on the spot, wrote it down on the back of one of my business cards with a pen. A P-E-N, I wrote it down with a pen. The very next day or that very afternoon, I called that prospect with no hesitation, no trepidation, no anxiety, no worry, no preconceived notions that I might be bothering him. Hello, can I speak with Steve? Steve, you met me in Starbucks yesterday. I'm the gentleman from California. I was in Chicago. You let me know that you were open about being a business owner. Is that correct? Steve, what do you do for a career now? Now I'm going to ask him the interview, a few simple questions to fact find. And in the process of fact finding, if I can create any connection, that would be rapport building. Where are you from originally? So he says Chicago. I'm in Chicago frequently. I'm originally from the Midwest. Two of my college roommates from Mount Prospect, Illinois. I've been to Chicago frequently. Do you love Chicago sports? I mean, anything to create a connection, but I'll still move the conversation along. That's fact-finding, rapport-building, and small talk. The purpose of my call, the purpose of my call is to qualify you for the business, the product, the service, the benefit, the feature, to see if you have any dreams, and most importantly, for my time. I had someone request a 20-minute coaching call yesterday. 2 minutes, that's 1-2. 2 minutes into this call, I knew this person was not qualified. I fulfilled the 20 minutes, thanked the person, and moved on. I was not rejected. I didn't reject him or her, but I understood in like mid-sentence, I understood who a qualified buyer is and isn't. And you do this from repetition and experience over and over. Can you go over the questions? They're on a CD set called The Psychology of Asking. It's now a download. You can purchase it for $47. But the questions go like this. What do you do for a career? How long have you done that? Do you have a college education? Do you enjoy what you do? Why do you want to own your own business? What is it about what you do that you don't like? How serious are you about owning a business? It's the same situation if I'm interviewing someone to work for me. Why do you want to go to work for me? I say, I want them to tell me. Do you have a college degree? Do you have a resume? Can you tell me a little bit about your work history? What are your best talents? What are your best skills? What are your best assets? I mean, this is an interview. I'm conducting a very relaxed interview. This is going to take about 3, 5, 7 minutes. I'm the king of smooth and the king of fast. Smooth and fast, and it's like this. Keep them moving like this. And so easily and effortlessly. Now, this right here is my left ear. So I'm right-handed. That's my inner ear. This is where I listen from, right here. So I'm leaning in like this. I'm listening. I'm going to hear what's meant. So if I ask a young man who's a busboy in a 5-star restaurant where I'm dining, I said, Taylor, have you ever considered owning your own business? He goes, I'm going to college. You know, I didn't ask him that. I didn't ask him if he was going to college. I asked him if he's ever considered his own business. And since he didn't answer my question, I'm not going to ask him again. Now, a novice, a sales amateur, don't you think you're prejudging it? I go, no, I think I'm a professional. So, I mean, I don't stalk people. I don't chase people. I don't beg people. I don't hunt them down. I mean, I qualify people for the most important component, the most valuable commodity I possess, time. So when you take value and time and skills and bring them together, that's what creates professionalism. Now you add repetition and experience, someone who's done it over and over and over and understands this keyword right here. So here's a keyword. It is called Z-E-N, the Zen. It's the Zen of selling. It's the inner game of selling. Now I have been selling since I was a teenager. And I never had any preconceived notions about selling. I'm not one of those guys that ever had any anxiety about being rejected. I started selling Time Life books when I was 19 years old in Denver, Colorado, 1976. That was the tail end of the hippie era. I was a freshman in college. I started in 75, entered in 76, Time Life books. I was sixth in Washington, downtown Denver, Colorado. I went back to college, changed my major from psychology to radio and television as a sophomore, speech communications, and proceeded to get a degree in radio and television. I became an on-air personality, a DJ, rock jock, classical DJ, newscaster, sportscaster, on-air personality, on-air interviewer. I also took a lot of classes and credits in graphic arts, layout and design, black and white photography. I had a very well-rounded career in radio, television, and journalism. Now, I use that today. I immediately started selling radio and television advertising and had no aversion to anyone saying, I'm not interested. Come back later, kid. Move on down the street. We're not buying. So none of that, I never heard I'm being rejected. Well, that's what you have to be averse to, and you let that go. People don't reject you. They don't buy from you because you're not effective, and they don't buy because they're not interested, and they don't buy from you because they can't commit. Now, when you understand the inner game of selling, you will not personalize the situation. So you can have one sales call and go to your next one without bringing the next one into the next at bat. Now, in baseball, if you strike out on 3 pitches or you look bad and you bring that looking bad into your next at bat, you've already struck out before you even got there. Because if you're worried about looking bad, you can't possibly perform an optimum performance. There's no Zen. The Zen is the inner game. The Zen is like, that was last at bat, this is this at bat, and I'm here, and I'm now. Bring it on, chief. Make a mistake and give me a high inside fastball, and we'll go yard, Y-A-R-D. You'll hit it out of the yard. That's what it's called, a home run in baseball lore. And so in selling, you close the sale. So when you walk around this planet, you better be able to say that I'm a finisher, I'm a closer. But if you walk around saying I'm a poser, I'm afraid of closing someone, so I'm going to pose as a closer. I'm afraid I might offend someone. I'm afraid. When you're afraid, when you use the word afraid, you've already telegraphed that into the universe. The universe will reward you for your anxiety by providing people to showcase how disappointed you are. As you begin to let go of your anxiety about the outcome that hasn't happened, as you begin to let go of fear of selling, I have phone fear. I mean, the phone, there's nothing to fear about a phone. It's a plastic instrument with wires in it that's cordless, and you use it as a mechanism to reach out and connect with people. When and you let go of this, I don't know what to say. Well, you don't know what to say because you don't understand the inner game and you don't practice asking the questions. Once you let go of your control, then you'll no longer be trying to control the control that keeps you out of control. You qualify the prospects by asking the questions in a sequence. I mean, it's just simple questions. And if you have prospecting avoidance, which a lot of people do, you'll never reach the LOP, the land of promise. Prospecting avoidance means you have a story about the outcome that hasn't happened. And as you begin to let go of your anxiety about that outcome, you can now relax into the conversation. And as you start to let go of the gaps and delays in your communication style, when with passive aggressive parents, people you grew up with, brothers and sisters, teachers, schoolmates, teammates, soulmates, these people who criticize you, if you grew up with critical behavior and you're an addictive validator, justifier, and explainer, you will have challenges selling. So it's the very reason you want to consider hiring me to be your coach so I can assist you to resolve the unresolved issues you keep perpetuating, fulfill the same feelings that keep you overwhelmed. Being overwhelmed is an emotion and addiction. That's why you're unorganized, undisciplined. And if you coach with me, you'll be a very disciplined sales professional, methodically asking the questions in a sequence, being able to let people go easily and effortlessly. And I get people confuse me. They go, I spoke to my teammate, or I went to this event, and I was told to follow up 7 to 10 times. Well, the fortune's not in the freaking follow-up. I must have addressed this 10,000 times. The fortune is in the zen of selling. The fortune is in reading the situation for what it is. The fortune is in the close. The fortune is in teaching sales skills to teammates so that you create closing consciousness, so that you have a team of closers who understand the value of asking the questions. You're not putting nails in people's coffins. You're not going for the jugular. You're not going for the throat. You're not going for no. Go for no. First of all, the word no, that really chaps my ass. First of all, the word no is not even used in the sentence structure when someone is not buying. They seldom have ever used the word no. They say not interested. They say I'll get back with you. They pathologically lie to you, telling you they're going to run it by their wife, the fireman, the significant other, the blow-up doll in the closet, someone down the street in the same financial situation that they're in, but they seldom create a commitment. See, when you have closing, when you have prospecting avoidance, you'll also attract people who are avoid committing, and then you have the lose-lose situation that keeps you overwhelmed. When you let go of your prospecting reluctance, prospecting avoidance, then you can prospect anyone, anywhere. I used to go to North Dallas to the Galleria Mall. And in the afternoon, I used to live right down the street in Euless, Texas. I lived in Euless, and I also lived in Farmers Branch. I lived about 2 miles from one of those beautiful malls at the time in Dallas, the Galleria. I used to go there in the afternoon, 2-hour time blocks, and I'd create 10 to 20 leads in a 2-hour period. I would go back to my office right down the street, set my ass in the chair, and prospect the very leads that I just spoke to 2 hours ago and see if I could book them for an appointment that night at 7 o'clock in my office, and I was doing the presentation. I mean, that's called urgency, a sense of urgency with no call reluctance. When you let go of rejection, first of all, people do not reject you. They object. They do not reject you unless it is personal. Now, if one of your family members or someone you know makes fun of you or personalizes what you're doing, that's a different situation. Seldom, if ever, does that happen. Asking the questions in a sequence. The questions in the sequence, I've covered that. It's, what do you do for career? It's a relaxed interview. And you can do this on an airplane. You can do this with anyone. You practice this. It's fact-finding, rapport-building. However, if you've been conditioned not to pry into other people's affairs, not to ask about money, not to do this, children will be seen, not heard. This will hinder your ability to conduct relaxed interviews. If you're a headhunter in Los Angeles, California, getting paid for placing people that were electrical engineers, you better be skilled at asking the questions because you're only going to get paid. If they get placed, they stay there 90 days, then your company will get a commission, which you'll get points off of. That's what happens when you're a talent scout or a headhunter. And so it's your responsibility to ask the questions in a sequence. Repetition and experience means you do the same thing over and over and over so that you can hit a fastball, an off-speed fastball, blindfolded. so that you can put the wood on the ball. So when you're prospecting, it's the same situation. You're able to ask the questions in the sequence about the outcome you are seeking. And when you're no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings, then you are you and you are free. And the better you get at this process, the higher the probability that you will be a closer, not a poser. Closers are not unorthodox. Closers are smooth. Closers are very skilled about asking the questions. They're very relaxed. Effective closers are very relaxed. They seldom ever offend anyone, and a closer is not offendable. When you're so humble you can't be humiliated, then rejection completely drops away and there is no rejection. When you let go of your anxiety about the outcome, then you will be you and you will be free. You'll be free of the anxiety that you tend to hold on to. Now, closing, once again, is finishing. For you to be a closer, you ask closing questions. You're not forcing the sale. You're not convincing people. You're using persuasion techniques. You ask the questions that lead to the outcome. And then you ask, are you in a position to? Based on what you've reviewed, do you feel comfortable with? Now that you've been through the whole process, do you see the value of? I mean, these are closing questions. You ask a series of trial closing questions coupled with closing questions. And the more relaxed you become, the more in your body you are, the more consciously aware, the more you trust self, the more you live in the moment, the more that you know, understand, the less anxious you will be. Hello, I'm really anxious. Let's go ahead and get this over with. That's how a lot of people come across. They want to go ahead and get it over with so they don't get rejected, yet they get rejected because they don't want to get rejected because that's the signal that they send. Mr. Combs, I really want to hire you after the first of the year. Like, really, Chief? How many times do you think I've heard this? I've heard this in the thousands of times. Now, because I've been financially challenged, I understand what it means to be financially challenged. I also know what it means for a sense of urgency. And I also know who is a qualified buyer and who's a non-qualified buyer. That comes from the repetition and the experience of being an effective closer. But if you have money excuses and your dialogue with money isn't conducive to creating it, how can you ask other people to commit? Well, you're going to have challenges because you're commitment phobic. When you live in broke thoughts, when you live in poverty consciousness, how can you possibly attract your reality people who understand prosperity, reciprocity, people who understand money, people who see an opportunity, people who are resourceful, people who are creative? So when you come from that space, you will change who and what you attract. If you are seeking a free 20-minute coaching call, I am now, right this afternoon, I am offering a 20-hour package at an exceptional value. Now, the only way you're going to find out that exceptional value is to contact me. So if you want to find out what that value is for 20 hours, 20 hours will take you through 10 months of one-on-one coaching. So you can contact me, Facebook Messenger, and I will be honored to return your request. Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. You have an outstanding afternoon, and you deserve it.